back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to yet another episode of Bus Talk. This is your host, Ian, and you're tuned in to your favorite everyday at work, work-life balance, work-like balance, everything about work, Bus Talk, a podcast about your life at work. And in today's episode, as promised in the last episode, I am going to talk about incentives, bonuses, and commissions. So if you're a salesperson listening to this, this is going to sit up and make you think. I'm going to do a deep dive on multiple facets of sales incentives, be it understanding the plans, what could be the different types of it, some recommendation if you are from the public sector sales, and the pros and cons of it. And if you're a people manager, sales manager, then what could be the right path to designing the right sales plan for your team? I won't give you the actual graphical details, but give you a framework, because there is no one framework, one Excel format that fits all. And so, but it should give you something to think about and or measure and map with what you already have. So if this is something that you like, then by all means, sit back, relax, watch where you're walking, and switch on your headphones. This is going to be fascinating. However, if you're one of those people who think this is not your cup of tea, worry not. Please go to www.bustalk.in. That's BASTALK.IN. Search some of the previous four seasons and you will find a ton of content that you may just find interesting. But even if you're not a salesperson, I urge you to stay put, because you will be interacting, or you must have interacted with some of the sales folk. And listening to this episode might give you a slightly more better perspective, or sensitize you to the challenges, the pains that the regular sales folk go through en route to selling whatever that they are selling. So on that note, let's dive into this episode of Bus Talk. If you haven't had a chance to watch Cuba Gooding Jr. and Mr. Tom Cruise's Jerry Maguire, a 1996 sports film, it's a sports drama. That's the right way to put it, I guess. If you haven't watched it, you just might want to have a watch and then listen to this. One of the iconic dialogues was, "Show me the money." And it's a sports person demanding the bonus and the incentive that the agent, Mr. Tom Cruise, had promised him. And that's such an iconic line, because it kind of encapsulates and captures the sense, the sentiment of the bonuses that we are promised but we never get. So that is if you are in a position to do that. But for lesser mortals like us who are in the average workforce, we wait for the quarter to get over and then start doing the Excel calculations on the attainments. Then sales operations hands over the attainment, and of course there are disputes, there are disagreements, and then we reconcile and then plan our expenses before the incentives are set out to hit the bank, right? You're already planned to buy this, buy that, travel here, travel there, and by the time the incentive or the bonus hits your bank, you spent most of the money. But this episode is not about how to save money and make better use of money, but to better explain to you how sales incentives work, and more importantly, what can you do as an organization, as a team, to design the plan well. So important thing is to understand sales incentive and plans. So why is it? And this will probably help those people who have recently moved into sales, and those who are in sales for a while, they'll already know this. So for the benefit of those probably recently moved into sales, then let me start by giving you a simple classical breakup of the sales plans. So it starts with 100-0, in which case 100% payout is done and you don't get any variable income. Everything is whatever the salary that gets credited after taxes on month one is the same money that you get on month 12. So there's no change in that, right? It's the same money. You're expected to show output on whatever the product or service that you're selling. And if you have done well and kept the uppers happy, then chances are you might be eligible for a bonus. And that's how many people are structured in various organizations, that you get an annual bonus. And then you do what you do with it, right? The next step or the next stage is 90-10, which is kind of rare, but for entry level freshers, it actually comes down to 80-20. What I mean by 80-20 is fixed 80 and variable 20. So which means if your salary is $100, $80 you get as fixed pay and $20 as your incentive if you attain 100% attainment. So they give you a target, and in that target, if you attain 100%, then you get that 20. If you attain 50% of your target, then you get 10. As simple as that. Then, and this is typically associated with entry-level early career, sales career folks, or smaller organizations which are not in a position to dole out big incentives and all. Then it gets a little more aggressive and competitive for folks who are at the 70-30 or 67-33, you know, whatever that math makes is, but essentially it hovers around the 70-30 mark. So 70-30 is a little more aggressive, where 30% money is at stake at the end of the year. And more often than not, people don't get to that 100% of that 30%. Roughly 10 to 20% get there. Rest 80% fall somewhere in between, get about 50 to 60%, and the balance don't get it. And that's how organizations sometimes plan the finances for the year, knowing well that all 100% of the sales resources will not get 100% revenue 100% of the time. And this is the art in the math, where they identify, well, it's going to be the Pareto's principle. Some will get and majority won't. Then if you move further up, you get into a very aggressive zone of 60-40. That is a lot. Like 60% of your salary comes through fixed, but a whopping 40%, that is a lot of money. 40% of your salary comes through incentives. Now it cuts both ways. Sometimes the companies do well and getting to that 100% of that 40% is like a walk in the park, and there are accelerators and this and that and everything. So it doesn't really matter. But on the flip side, there are also organizations which struggle to go out there. And, you know, these debates are very tricky, where you say, well, it's the capability of the salesperson to make 100% incentive. If they don't, then you can't blame the company. But it's also a fact that there are times when the product or the service that is going out is a classical hard sell. And I won't take examples. You know what the ones that I'm talking about. Hard sell meaning the customer already has a similar product or service. There is no compelling need. It's a good to have thing. And so there is driving a aggressive number becomes incredibly challenging, as compared to, say, a must-have product, which is mission critical to their business or success. If they don't have it, then business bleeds or shuts down or closes or whatever. Think of all the security folks out there, right? Selling security products or services. And so it is relatively easier to sell products which are must-have as compared to good to have, as in my life will continue even if I don't buy stuff from you, is what the customer is saying. And the onus is on you perpetually to push the ball and say, hey, you might as well buy now. It's a quarter end, it's a year end, and so on and so forth. simply put, you're trying to create this sense of pressure, artificial pressure or sense of urgency when there is none. And so when you go on a 60-40 plan in such environments, it is very tough. And so articulate planning, detailed plan B, plan C, all those measures are key to ensure that you get to 100%. And it's on the flip side, there's no guarantee if you're selling a must-have solution that it's a walk in the park, because you're not the only player in the market. You are secure with 128-bit encryption. Somebody will come back and say, oh, we are doing 256. The other guy will say, no, we are 512, and so on and so forth. So selling anywhere is not easy, but even more so if it is a good-to-have thing. But it's as difficult in the must-have space as well. So 60-40 is a challenging game, and you have to really be on top of your game to get that 40% quarter on quarter. Finally, we move into the highest limit, as it were, which is 50-50. 50% fixed and 50% variable or incentive. It's a plan that you see mostly in the United States, North America, and some of the other developed economies, where this is quite prevalent and common. It is there in India in a few companies. They do a 55-45. But India being a culture where predominantly the workforce is looking for a fixed salary as a security blanket, then it's difficult to break through that culture. I know of resources who would refuse a job despite being the right fit because of this aggressive nature. So nature of sales plan. So organizations therefore balance it out between 70-30 and 60-40 or 65-35, whatever, which it's a bit of here and there both. And but just to conclude this, that it's 50-50 or 55-45 is not the only thing. There are instances in some B2C markets where it's a commission-based role, which goes right up to 100% variable, you know, on as you sell and so on and so forth. But let's just say that they are few and far in number and very difficult, right? Very difficult to go out there and sell and get commissions without any fixed salary. So, but in the B2B space, business to business space, largely these are the two or three ones that I mentioned: 80-20, 70-30, 60-40. The question now is, what is the right sales plan for you, and how do you make sure that these different type of incentive plans work for you, especially in different stratas? For example, if you're selling into top tier enterprise business, which plan works better? If you're selling into the mid-market, what works better? And if you're in the SMB, what suits you better? So let's try and explore that. Let's go from bottom to top, right? So if you're in SME, SMB space, which is small and mid-sized businesses, not even mid-sized, small-sized business, it's a volume transaction. You're going clippity-clop week on week. You know, you're talking about, say, for example, 20 deals, 10 deals a day. That is the run rate that you want to operate on. So 10 deals a day, 10 into 5 days, 50 deals a week is a lot. So the volume, the way to look at that volume game is, how do you ensure that you get to the number, whether it comes from A, B or C customer is kind of immaterial, as long as you deliver on the number that you commit. So if you had to close, say, 50 deals by Friday night, whether it comes from company A, B or C doesn't matter, as long as you hover around 50-55. Going below 50 in the SMB space is not taken too lightly, because there are that many deals on the table, situations and solutions are available. And so you really, it comes down to planning your time in such a way that you organize every single day down to every single available hour. Think of this, right? If you had to close 10 deals on Monday and you land up closing 5 deals, next day you have to close 15. So then how do you find the time when you struggle to close 10? So therefore, in such volume businesses, it is absolutely critical that you work backwards, put an end date. Of course, you have an end date of the quarter, but you break it down to the effective work days available. So you might think there are 90 days in a quarter, but you minus the Saturday, Sundays, and you probably take a 22-day month, or round it off to 20-day month. So 20 into 3 is 60 days in a month instead of 90. That's straight 30 days gone, a month gone. And within that, you probably take in a 20-day month, you might want to, one day you're not feeling well, one day this customer is not available, someday the system is down, something is getting uploaded, and you know the shebang that happens, and work doesn't get done. And therefore, you lose another a day or so. Then you lose another day or two. If you sum it up in meetings, internal, non-customer facing meetings, where you're talking to your boss, you're talking to your manager, you're talking, giving reviews, you're giving updates, you're updating CRM, whole bunch of things you factor in, and you lose another 2 days. And so from 20, it was 19, now you're down to 17. And then one of those days, some festival creeps up, which was in one region where it was your territory, but the rest of the country is working. You kind of lose a couple days there as well. So give and take is 15 days a month, which is when you start to panic that how am I going to get to my numbers in 15 days when I thought there were 30 days available. So volume business, getting your incentives, largely depends on how disciplined you are on a every single day. How disciplined you are. There is no catching up in this business. It just snowballs into something unreachable. And then you wish for this magic deal, which kind of takes care of the dollar value. But in the SMB business, there are the big deals are few and far apart. It kind of almost defeats the purpose, where the goal is to get hold of the run rate business as much as possible, as quickly as possible. So that's why a 60-40 plan, 55-45 or 50-50 plan in SMB, I wouldn't advise that. If you're an organization, I'd probably stick to a 70-30 plan in the SMB business, which gives some cover for the salespeople, and yet it is aggressive enough to make sure that there is a lot of money to be earned there. So I would, or maybe let's just, now that I think about it, maybe 65-35 is the best, right? Not 60-40, 65-35, not 70-30, which gives adequate weightage to the volume business. Remember, it's also about retaining the resource. If the resource gets burnt out in 2 months flat, how does it help the organization? They can't go oblivious to this, right? It's a human trying to go out there and close, and there is limited time. Within that limited time, you expect the highest degree of efficiency and then expect it to sustain over a period of time. So these are the factors as an organization one needs to keep in mind while planning aggressive sales compensations. Now let's move a little higher up to the mid-market segment. Mid-market segment, so SMB typically caps off at, you know, 10 to 500 employees, maybe 1,000 employees, if the case may be, but say 1,000 to 7,000, 1,000 to 5,000 is classically the employee headcount, is what I'm saying, is the classical mid-market in India. And these organizations, the way to, if you are a salesperson from such mid-size organizations, you will find yourself in the 70-30 plan, 80-20, 70-30 in most cases, because the sales cycles are slightly longer and the deals are a little more complex, little less transactional. But even in the mid-market, there are three categories, right? The upper mid-market, the lower mid-market, and the mid-mid-market. So what works well is the 70-30 model in the lower to mid-mid-market, whereas in the upper mid-market, which is just below the large enterprise space, which is, say, if I were to put a number, right, companies which have, say, 5,000 to 7,000 or 8,000 employees, that range, then those are where 80-20 plan sits really well, because it kind of mimics the enterprise business to a large extent. It's almost like an extended version of an enterprise business. Whereas in the mid-mid market and the lower mid-market is like the upper end of the SMB business, right? And so the 70-30 model works well, and it gets you the momentum that you need to get. And planning is not as tight, as crazy as the SMB space, but it kind of mimics the same. So instead of doing an hourly follow-up or a daily follow-up, probably you can afford a twice a week kind of follow-up. And as you go higher to accounts which are the upper mid-market, then it's like a weekly follow-up, because that's the it'd be futile to talk to them every day, you know. So how do you enlarge accounts, largish accounts on the higher end of mid-market? There won't be a progress every single day. And you're also talking about a finite set of accounts, unlike SMB, which could be, 60 million entities in the country. Not the case with mid-market, which will be probably one-tenth of that, or maybe little more. So then it is a little difficult to find out. It requires a little bit of account management. I think the difference between the sales plans between or sales attainments between SMB and mid-market is you need to be a little more planned. There should be a little more marketing activity that is required, and it'll be a little less transactional. Then it kind of sits and sits well with the sales plan. So 70-30 it is for me in the mid-market. If you want to still keep it a blanket for even the upper mid-market, that's fine too. Most people will settle there. 60-40, you can be a little aggressive if you have been a business which has been around for a while with a must-have product. If you're in a good-to-have product, then stick to 70-30 to make the most of it, is what I think. Finally, let's move up to the upper echelons of management. The creme de la creme, the best place to be is the enterprise business, right? This is where the marquee accounts lie, where all the glamour is, if you will. And it is the longest sales cycle and the most toughest sales cycle, in the sense, in these large accounts, almost everything has been sold that there needs to be sold, right? There have been people who have been at it, all the big players, everyone is there camping at their doorsteps. They've sold the ELAs, ULAs, enterprise licensing and perpetual agreements and everything. And they're almost like landlocked in some sense. So the space to break in is very limited. You can't just turn up to a marquee account and say, hey, now abandon your existing incumbent player and look at me. Usually the entry points are few and far apart. Either it's a 3-year refresh, hardware refresh, or it is a change in, maybe there's a merger, acquisition or a divestiture, or there is some sudden change in the direction of the company or some new project. So those are event-led changes. And usually the challenger has to get like a foot in the door. There isn't a rip and replace, right? And even people develop favorites, that this is my favorite piece of software, so I ain't going to let nobody in. So what happens is the pressure mounts on the salesperson to sell there. But the flip side is, if they do manage to sell there, then the deals are big. You're going to make a lot of money. And that's when rest of the mid-market and SMB guys are going to sit and stand and clap and say, oh my God, yeah, those are the big deals. But more often than not, entrepreneurs or C-level guys bank on the SMB and mid-market, because the insurance quotient is much higher. That what they forecast, what they commit, is most likely to come in. And even if they miss forecast, it won't be by much, because the deals are easily replaceable, which, as you guessed it, is not the case in the enterprise level. You miss a deal, recovering that deal, finding a backup of a big deal is incredibly difficult. And so the salesperson selling into large enterprises has to plan annually and then work backwards from there. Again, as it is the size of an organization or how tenured an organization is, how confident they are about getting to their numbers, they plan the sales plan aggressively, right? In many cases, it is 60-40 at the enterprise level, but 80-20 is the other part. I generally don't see too much of 70-30, but the sales folk also divided into two parts, right? The low level sales folks are in 80-20. The higher account managers are on 60-40 in some sense. So the probability of getting that 40% is difficult, as in 100% of that 40% is difficult. So it relies on big deals and large deals, and there are lots of accelerators and everything. And so, but once they do get that, then that's big money. And so if you ask me, those who have hit that big money will never want to abandon or leave enterprise business and move into any other business. But those who haven't, they will clearly be very happy being in the other layers of customers, right? Whether it's mid-market or SMB. So if I were to sum this up for you, like which sales plan is best for you as a sales person, I think you can't literally choose or design. You get into one largely, but I think even if you, before you do that, you may want to first understand what does it take to be a successful salesperson. First up, it takes the ability to handle rejection. Second, to continuously turn up with your A game even after an exhausting quarter end. Like you finished your quarter on 31st. On 1st, you're expected to reset, restart year after year, month after month, quarter on quarter. You have to sustain. The next thing is you should be comfortable with talking to people, as many people, building equations, relations, being very sharp, understanding the non-verbals. These are very important things. So not very difficult to teach these things. The reason I'm sharing this with you is very difficult to teach these things. It has to be a natural trait, and they can be honed and matured and sharpened. But at the core of it, at the heart of it, you have to have these traits, basis which you have the foundation to become an aggressive salesperson. Then once you have that, you figure out whether you are more of the hunter material or the gatherer or the farmer material. Hunter material will go out there and find business where there were none, create stuff from scratch. Think of yourself as a startup founder and see if you can start up a business. If that doesn't excite you, then clearly you are of the gatherer or the farmer types, where there's an ongoing engagement and you build on the relationship, and over a three-year period, you find areas of cross-selling and upselling something that is already there. I mean, both are as equal and important, but these days it's also about retaining the customer so that they don't churn out, and also growing the business much more aggressively than you ever did before. So have answers to these questions internally before you present your thoughts externally to people, right? Ask yourself, what is more comfortable to you? Because no matter what decision you take, you will be tested. You will be tested on either of those things. Like if you're a hunter, you'll constantly say, where is net new business? Incremental business. Where is the new business? New logos, new contacts, every day, every month, every quarter. If you are in the hunter, in the gatherer side of things, then, well, there's already existing business. Why aren't you able to grow the business? Where is the cross-selling that is happening? How much have you mapped an organization? So all of these have an impact on your sales comp or sales incentive plan. And so make up your mind before you go out there and seek a role with similar traits. And then, you know, if the fit is right, you take it like a fish to water. And if not, you're like a fish trying to climb a tree. Which which is tough, right? And there's that, it's misery for you and for the team. So don't be in that situation where you signed up for something which you do not like doing intrinsically and then struggle to achieve. And it leaves a dent in your confidence because, you know, the stakes are high, the tempers flare, there are times when people lose the patience. And wittingly or unwittingly, knowingly or unknowingly or inadvertently say things which hurt you, which kind of redoubt you and like, oh my God, what am I doing here? Then you blame the company, you blame the organization, the manager, the whole world, but you do not stick a moment to think, did you sign up for the right role? And so to make the most of your sales plan, figure out what is your sales trait. Once you figure that out, chances are you will be a successful salesperson no matter what the plan that you choose. Finally, if you are a public sector person selling into public sector, government, state and local, education, ed tech, you know, anything that goes out to the public, then the same rules will be a little more difficult to accomplish. My recommendation and suggestion to the management, to the founders, to the people who design sales intelligence and sales operations has always been that in the public sector space, have a 3-year plan. So start with a safe 90-10, move to 80-20, settle to a 70-30. Why? Because the control over timelines in public sector deals is not in the salesperson's hand. Government will move when they have to move. Departments will move when they need to move. They are not governed by your quarter ending or year ending. It's not a compelling event for them. You can't offer them additional discounts. None of that shit happens. So essentially, they float a tender or an RFP, you respond to it and they close it. Alternatively, if these are these one-off things, then you are not just the only one proposal that's doing the rounds. There are 30 other proposals that are doing the rounds. So there is no compelling push that the salesperson can do. So the flip side is, if you continually view the public sector sales team as and compare them to the SMB team or the enterprise team, they're likely to miss out. They miss out on personal milestones and motivations like winning the MVP or getting recognized, or on the contrary, getting wrapped on every quarter call that there is a number, or every month forecast call, why hasn't this moved? And there are that many deals, right? It's not like a big volume business that, oh, I had 300 deals to go after. So in the government business also, it's difficult to map an organization. And so it's a time consuming, it's a long drawn, it's a 3-year plan. So the way I put it is, keep a 3-year plan. For the first year, make it 90-10. You know, you have some run rate business, small deals, but you get a little bit of money and you do the seeding activity, the groundswell activity. Year two, you do the lead generation activity, where after the building on that groundswell, you reach out to customers saying, hey, now that there is a brand recall, there is familiarity, now can I align with your next project? And therefore you identify one or two big projects, they in turn become qualified leads, qualified opportunities, and you begin the process. Then 6-8 months down the line, it progresses to a stage of closure, by which time you get into year three, which could be a 70-30. It kind of works both ways. You know, it tells the salesperson that the longer you stay, the more money that you're going to make. And in the public sector space, you need familiarity, so your retention factor increases as an organization. Chopping and changing and sending a new person to the same customer again and again is not the most ideal situation to be in the public sector business or in the large enterprise space, right? I mean, you look at it, it's a brand familiarity that matters. And so try suggesting that. And if you're a sales ops person listening to this, or sales intelligence person listening to this, give this a thought, propose it and see if there are any pushbacks, and happy to address them if there are any. Leave a comment or suggestion, or leave me a voice note wherever you can, and then we can discuss about it. And if you are one designing it at the moment, let me know. I'm happy to get you on the show and have a quick conversation and see where that goes. So that's how it is, friends, for enterprise, mid-market, SMB, and public sector sales and sales incentives. I cap this up with the future of sales incentives, the emerging trends. It is a subscription economy for most part. The margins have reduced from high double digits to single digits. So while there is the subscription economy, you know, the fill it, shut it, forget it era is slowly a thing of the past. And so you will have to worry about retention, churn. You have to think about the cost of acquiring a customer versus their lifetime value, and then see how best you've managed a customer over a three-year period. And have you managed to A, retain, B, grow, C, cross-sell and upsell? And so the sales incentives of the future will largely revolve around these parameters, in my view. And from a percentage standpoint, I think it will hover around the same. I don't see much changes between 60-40 and 70-30. Again, 50-50 to me seems still little difficult to sustain given the unpredictability of the sales motion. But hey, those who pull it off, they do, and those who sustain it, they do, and to each their own. On that note, I hope you found this episode useful, informative. We are doing a series of episodes, and if you know, each month has a theme. This theme was the theme for January is rather embracing. You know, how do you build robust teams? How do you embrace a strong team culture? How do you build robust teams? And while in doing so, what is it that you need to get the best teams? And so episode week one was about hiring top sales talent. Then it was about onboarding and best practices of sales teams. This episode was about incentive structures and how to drive sales performance. And the next one will be probably talking a little bit about integrating technology in the sales process. And I'll talk a little bit about the sales work-life culture. Let's put it that way. Culture is my favorite topic. So how do you integrate technology into the sales process? How do you make use of dashboards and everything? And what's the right way to track your business and so on and so forth? If that's something that interests you, make sure you tune in to Buzz Talk sometime soon. I hope to do it by Saturday, because then we'll switch on to the theme for February. But I promise to catch up, because time is very, very limited, and I want to do a good job, spend adequate time so that you get a deep insight into all of these topics. That's it. That's a wrap, folks. Have a great week, month, quarter ahead. I wish all the salespeople meet their targets and achieve their sales incentives, and I will catch up with you soon. And if you do want to talk to me, reach out to me, you know where to find me, right? On X, formerly Twitter. That's hashtag Ionisms, AAYANISMS. And on LinkedIn, that's IN/IonBan. That's AAYANBAN. You can always send a note, drop a message, leave a voice message. And we have a Telegram group as well. So if you're keen to be part of the Telegram group, then feel free to drop me a note. And you'd have to be comfortable sharing your phone number so that I can add you to the group, and you can get all the updates and meet fellow Buzz Talkers in one place. So until we meet the next time, stay well, stay safe, get your A game to work. This is your host Ian, and you are listening to Buzz Talk.